Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. God is in the house. Amen. I was having a conversation with Donna before worship, and she wanted fluff, and I said, well, you're going to get a little bit of both, okay? And Donna, I know what you mean. This week, believe me, I wanted fluff, and all I got was truth, okay? So we're going to take a look at Ephesians, and what a rich book. We're just doing 10 verses today, but we could have a sermon on each verse. It's that rich, okay? Bob Yulee writes, this book has been called the crowning jewel or capstone of Paul's theology. All of the great themes of Paul started in Galatians, developed in Romans, and are now expressed in Ephesians in a wonderful summary fashion. Before we start, there's something you should notice, and whenever you read a letter of Paul, you'll notice this, okay? Paul usually makes two points, okay? And it's kind of a continuous theme through all of his letters. Number one, he always starts by reminding the disciples of who they are. He reminds them all the time who they are in Christ, okay? And then from there, the second thing is the apostle tells them how they should act or live. He simply emphasizes that they should be who they are. And is that a message for the church today? Yes, absolutely, right? And we see this very clearly in Ephesians. You'll see it when Pastor Perry preaches and Pastor Robin and Pastor Robert, you'll see this continuous theme. And look for, whenever you're doing your devotions and reading a book of Paul, you'll see these two things. He'll tell us who we are and how we should act because of who we are. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. An apostle is simply a representative or ambassador sent to represent a higher authority. Jesus was sent by the Father as an apostle. Then he sent his apostles in his name. And in the same way, we have apostles today. He addresses the letter to the church in Ephesus while he was incarcerated in Rome the first time. So we figure it's around 62 AD when he wrote this. It was meant to be distributed to all the churches. He addresses it to the saints or holy people. What is a saint? It's a holy person, right? What's holy? Holy means set aside for God's purpose, right? So these are people who are set aside for God's purpose. Is that only pastors? No. It's the entire church. We've been called and set aside to be holy, to be used for God's purpose and for His glory. Is that how we live our lives? Hopefully, okay. Depends what day you catch us, right? Okay. So who are the saints today? Correct. All of us, right? We're to live to glorify God, all right? And does the culture like that? No. We're supposed to live for the self, right? Spurgeon writes, oh, remember, brothers and sisters, we are men and women, but we are now God's men and women. We are no longer mere mortals. We are so in ourselves, but by divine grace we are chosen immortals, God's sons, God's daughters, taken to Himself. Remember, Christian, you bear the name of God upon you. So Paul tells them and us that they're saints, that we are saints, a holy people. Now the word of grace is going to come up continually in Ephesus and in all of Paul's writings. So what is grace? Melvin Newland had a great definition of it. He said, grace is giving or receiving something that is needed but not deserved. Okay? Grace is giving or receiving something that is needed but not deserved. There was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching his youth group, still appreciate this, Pastor Robert and Kathy, okay, about grace, and he used this definition, grace is giving or receiving something that is needed but not deserved. Well, it was in the Midwest and it was during winter. Later that week, he's walking out of the church, and Bobby, one of the youth, is hiding behind a snow mound. So he sees his Sunday school teacher, he grabs a snowball and hurls it. And it was a direct hit on his ear, okay? And it knocked his hat into the mud. Has anybody ever been hit in the ear with a snowball? It is not pleasant, folks. And he was seeing stars. And he wanted to run and chase after this guy and throttle him. But then he thought about the lesson about grace. Well, Bobby ran away, needless to say. So what the Sunday school teacher did is he knew Bobby's birthday was coming up in a few months, and he knew that Bobby borrowed his fishing pole because he didn't have one. So he went out and bought a fishing pole and took it over to Bobby's house, and Bobby wasn't there, so he gave it to his mother. And he said, just tell Bobby it's an early birthday present, and he left. Okay. Well, later that day, Bobby comes walking up to the Sunday school teacher's house, and he has the fishing pole, and he says, here, I can't take this, because if you knew I was the one who hit you with a snowball, you wouldn't give it to me. And he said, no, Bobby, actually, that's why I did give it to you. And he said, do you remember the Sunday school lesson? And he said, no. Okay. Like all the youth, right? Okay. And so he said, no. And he said, it was about grace. Grace is giving or receiving something that is needed but not deserved. So you need a fishing pole, but you don't deserve it. So he said, so Bobby, do you know what grace is? And he said, yes, it's a fishing pole. In the same way, we needed something, and Jesus gave it to us for free, even though it wasn't deserved. Amen? And that's grace. And we see it every day in our lives, right? God gives us things we don't deserve. So we are a holy people who have received grace. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. A blessing is something or someone God freely gives to us. A blessing is not happiness, as Pastor Robin told us a couple weeks ago. It's a divine gift. So what are the spiritual blessings we have in Christ? And I found this, okay. Isn't that cool? It's amazing what you can do with PowerPoint now. And I get to use my little thing, too, okay? What do you mean, oh boy? Okay. Zip it. Okay. All right. Yeah. Move over. Okay. All right. I make a better door than a window. Okay. What's a spiritual blessing? And I'm just going to... There's a sermon you can preach on each one of these. I'm just going to quickly tell you. Redemption. Redemption is like buying a slave, okay? That's what redemption is. We have redemption, so we're bought. We've been paid for. Our sins have been paid for. We've been redeemed, bought out of the slavery of sin. We have eternal life, and eternal life starts here and now, right? It's not something we get later on. We have eternal life now. Sanctification, fancy word. It simply means to be made holy. That means to be made set apart for what God would have us do, and the Holy Spirit does that. That's not something we attain. Reconciliation. We're reconciled in Christ. We're restored back into the original relationship God wanted to have with us in the Garden of Eden. Okay? So we're restored into a relationship. Justification. Justification is a legal term, and it's being declared innocent of charges. Okay? Justification is a legal term, and we're declared innocent of all of our sins. Forgiveness. Obviously, forgiveness. Our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Grace, we talked about that. Something needed but not deserved, all right? Salvation, we're saved from sin, death, and the devil, as Martin Luther would say, and we have eternal life. Now, these are the things, the blessings that we have in Christ. Do you see what I mean? You could have a sermon out of one verse, all right? Now, to this list, I want to add one that Paul talks about here today, because this isn't all of them. I want to add adoption, which we will see in verse 5, and I'm going to talk about that more. Now, are these spiritual blessings only received upon death? No. We are blessed with them when we accept Jesus and live in a relationship with Him here and now. So our relationship with Jesus starts here and now. It's eternal life, and it goes on forever. And it's completely different than how we were living before, okay? There was an elderly Italian man who was dying. I better turn that off. He was in the upper room of his house because he was in like hospice, and all of a sudden he smelled Italian fig cookies. And they smelled delicious, and his wife made really good Italian fig cookies. So he wasn't sure if he was going to enter heaven or if his thoughtful wife of 60 years was baking cookies for him. So even though it was very painful, he got up, and he managed to walk down the stairs. And the only thing that kept him going is he kept smelling these cookies, and he goes, man, I wonder if I'm entering heaven now. So he finally gets to the kitchen, and he looks, and there on the table are hundreds of Italian fig cookies, all different colors. And he goes, I'm in heaven, okay? So he manages to make it up to the table, and he starts to grab a cookie to put it in his mouth. His wife grabs a spatula and hits his hand and says, no, those are for the funeral. Okay? That's not grace, okay? And we don't have to wait for death to get our Italian cookies. Amen? Our riches in Christ are not simply in the future. They start here and now. All that list of things we have now, we possess those. Amen? Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So why did God choose us and not other people? No one knows. Our response to such great love should be humility and thanksgiving. And just be thankful that we're in the kingdom of God, right? Once again, we need to see the balance of God's sovereignty and our free will. And it's going to come up again and again in this book, okay? God is all sovereign. He controls everything, right? But at the same time, we have free will. And we're not going to know the answer to that until we're in heaven. Let's see. Oh, there you go. Before you were born or had done anything good or bad, God decided whether to save you or not. That's John Piper. I like that. I wish he would have had the thumb up on that. But that kind of looks like the world, though, right? Isn't that what the world does to us all the time? You've been judged and found wanting, you know? Yeah, you're right. I'm wanting, definitely. But I know Jesus. That's all I need. Amen? Bedley writes, the goal of predestination is holiness, not privilege. God's call is not to be a selected few of Adam's children, but to all. It is a call to be what God intended mankind to be, like himself, i.e. Christ-likeness. To turn predestination to a theological tenet instead of a holy life is a tragedy. God's unalterable will for every believer is not only heaven later, but Christ-likeness now. Believers are to reflect God's characteristics to a lost world for the purpose of evangelism. So Paul is saying, be who you are, okay? He tells us we are chosen, blessed people. Be who we are. Be holy without blemish to demonstrate God's love to a perishing world. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I came upon this from Sean Drake, this next quote, and it's really helpful in explaining the whole predestination thing, okay? When we talk about predestination, I do not want you to think that God stood in heaven and began to choose who would and would not be chosen. Yes, in God's foreknowledge, he knows who will be saved and who will not be saved. But we still have free will. What was predestined was that Jesus Christ was going to come into this world in the form of a man, live a perfect life, become sin on a cross for all mankind, die, and arise from the dead on the third day, so that we could have eternal life with God. Why would God do this? Because he loves us. Please notice that we are predestined to be adopted by God. When you repent and choose to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. Since Jesus is God's only begotten Son, the only way we can become a child of God is through adoption. Spurgeon puts it this way, before the foundation of the world, says the text, there was a purpose in the heart of God, and in that purpose we were chosen. Your election came according to his purpose, and so have all your gifts and much more, all your graces. Have you a strong, bright-eyed faith? Have you burning zeal? Have you vehement love? Have you any of these gifts of the covenant? Use them for a purpose. God has given them for a purpose. Find out what that purpose is and glorify God thereby. The objective of our election is our holiness, and the object of every spiritual blessing is our holiness. God is aiming at making us holy. Are you not glad of that? May I not say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because his aim in every gift is to make us holy. Brothers and sisters, would we not sacrifice everything if we have and count it no sacrifice if we might be perfectly holy? And once again, what would our world say about holiness? Boring, right? I don't want to be holy. I want to go out and party and have fun, right? But holiness. And we are. And you can be holy and do that. Okay? You can be holy and do that. But the world doesn't understand that. A couple things about adoption first before I move on. In Roman society, if you were adopted, that means your father couldn't kill you. Because a natural born child could be killed by the father, and there would be no punishment in Roman society. Also, if you were adopted, you could not be disinherited. You can disinherit your natural born children. But if you were adopted, you could not be disinherited. Okay? So, we're adopted children of God. Praise God. Amen? Spurgeon was talking to a young girl about holiness, though, and it was a young girl who was going to join the church. And he said, "Mary, are you perfect?" And she looked at him and said, "No, sir, I'm not." And he said, "Would you like to be?" And she said, "Oh, that I would. I long for it. I cry for it." We should have the heart of that young girl, right? We should long for holiness. No matter what the world says, we should long to be a holy people that's different. And believe me, this world, they're going to rip you apart. But we're called to be a holy people, set aside for God's purpose, right? Amen? We have been chosen by God. That is who we are. We are to be holy. But let's look at the spiritual blessing of adoption. Spurgeon writes, "Adoption is the act of God whereby man, who by nature, the children of wrath, even as others, and were of the lost and ruined family of Adam, are from no reason in themselves, but entirely of the pure grace of God, translated out of the evil and black family of Satan, and brought actually and virtually into the family of God. They take His name, share the privileges of sorts, and they are to all intents and purposes the actual offspring and children of God. This is an act of pure grace. No man can ever have a right in himself to become adopted." And isn't that the truth? If a child's up for adoption, does the child get to decide who the parents are going to be? No. The parents decide, right? But get this. This is the cool part. God decided before we were even born that He was going to adopt us. How cool is that? He's longed for us. Amen? So Paul answers the question, who we are, or who are we? We are children of God by adoption, and it comes only through Jesus Christ, okay? In Him we have redemption. We're bought back from our fallen nature, from Satan, the world, and sin, through the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished upon us. And lavished here means like an overflowing artesian fountain. So He just gives and gives and gives, and it flows, His blessings flow, with all wisdom and understanding. There we are, children of God. Okay? We become children of God, but was it with no price? No, it was with an extreme price. Go to the next slide, okay? It was the death of God's Son for us, right? An expensive price because God loves us. So don't tell me that God doesn't love you, okay? Jesus on the cross throws that out the window, okay? He loves all of us. Spurgeon writes, "You will never know how grace can heal until you have felt how sin can wound. There is no clothing you till you are stripped. There is no making you alive till you are killed. There is no filling you till you are empty. The Lord fills the hungry with good things, but the rich He sends away empty. God Himself will never comfort you till you are driven to self-despair. And if you have already come to that, it is a great privilege to me to be allowed to tell you that the fact of forgiveness of sin is not only a doctrine of the creed, but is a promise of God's Word. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. This is no mere formula, but a realized fact with me. Removal of the penalty, removal of God's offense against us, the clearing away of all the lukewarm waters within the heart, and the creation of joy and peace through perfect reconciliation to God. This is a summary account of the forgiveness of sin. It is a blessing vast and rich. We love sin till we see that it killed our best friend, and then we loathe it forevermore." So who are we? We are children of God, forgiven of all of our sins. We need to forgive ourselves. We're forgiven of all of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing to be who we are, holy and blameless. He's blessed us to be holy and blameless. And that is definitely a countercultural message, all right? You're not going to hear that on the news. I love this picture. I really like this picture. Isn't that what Jesus does? Every day, He just lavishes gifts on us, right? Every day, He lavishes gifts upon us. And I'm just seeing my grandson who wants to walk up here. Okay? All right. He's lavishing a gift upon us. Lindsay, remember, He's a gift. Okay? That's right. He's saying, I am a gift. All right? Amen. Preach it, baby Ryan. All right? He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. God's wisdom is Christ. He is available to all who repent and call on His name. This phrase emphasizes that God is in control of history. At just the right moment, God sent Jesus Christ into the world. And at just the right moment, He will come again. And He will come again. Amen? And I have one of the drawings. There's the drawing, okay? Let me put my little red light on. Because I know Pastor Perry loves it so much, okay? That's where we were. Then Jesus came. We received grace upon grace. And we're restored into a relationship with God. Do we have to wait until we die for this? No. We live it daily, okay? We live in a relationship with God daily. So who are we? We're children of God. There's your fluff, Donna, okay? You're a child of God, all right? We are blessed children of God. Brothers and sisters, here's the truth, Donna. Be who we are. Live and act as God's holy children. Strive after holiness no matter what the world says. Amen? The world says, it's okay to go out and party on the weekends and get drunk. It says that sexuality, whether heterosexuality or homosexuality, is okay. It says make as much money as you can, no matter what. It says take care of number one, no matter what. It says we have rights and we don't have to listen to God. This is what the world says. And we've had people who said they've had visions and dreams of what God has told them. It's great to have visions and dreams, okay? But if they're contrary to God's Word, if a vision or dream is contrary to God's Word, then it's not the Spirit of God who's given you that dream or vision. If you hear a voice saying, Jesus, it's okay if I do mess because I'm God's child, that's a voice straight out of hell, okay? It's a lie, right? So don't tell me, well, God told me, okay? If it's contrary to God's Word, it's false. It's a false voice. And the key for Christians to be holy people, we have to discern the voice. And the only way we can discern the voice is by being in the Word of God, right? That's the only way we can find out what the truth is. So part of being a holy person is discerning the voices. So who are we? We are blessed children of God. Brothers and sisters, be who we are. Live and act as God's holy children. Strive after holiness, no matter what the world says. Amen?